Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Matthew records that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here is a reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it, shall we pray. Father, we thank you as we gather together this morning for your coming to us and the gift of your Son. And we've come together this morning in your name to gather before you, to lift up our praise and worship to you, to seek you again. So Father, I pray that through your word, Lord, you would encourage us, that you would speak to us, that you would refresh us and nourish us, because Lord, your word is that life to us, the living water that continues to refresh us and nourish our soul. So we ask this prayer through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. Today we close our series on looking at the characters of Christmas. And throughout these weeks together during Christmas and Advent season, we've looked at different people that have been surrounded and touched by the story and the coming of Christ. We saw Joseph. We looked at Mary. We looked at the shepherds, the innkeeper. And today, we want to focus in on the wise men who came after Jesus was born. And a lot of all the people of the story that surrounds Christmas, perhaps the wise men are the most mysterious. Perhaps of them, they're the ones that is maybe the least known and the most speculation is made about them, and maybe a lot of misconceptions that we have regarding them and their story as they come to worship Christ. A lot of stories have been told about the wise men. Names have even been ascribed to them. But what does the Bible really say? What does the Bible say about the three wise men this morning? Before we get into looking at the core of the message, we just want to focus a little bit on who they were and what the Bible has to say. Now, we sing a song. In fact, we're going to sing it at the end of the service this morning. "We Three Kings of Orient Are." But even though we sing that carol, there's probably a lot in that carol that's really not quite biblically accurate. For one thing, the wise men were not kings, nor were they considered wise men. What the Bible says about them was that Magi came from the east. And that's all the Bible tells us about who these men were. Now, if you would look at that word Magi on the screen up here, what word do you see in that word Magi, anybody? Anybody see a word in there? I heard it. Someone said magic. If you would add a C to that, you get the word magic. In fact, our word, English word magic, comes from this word Magi. And really what the Magi were is they were magicians, sorcerers, and people who studied the stars, and they looked up at the stars and for trying to find guidance and direction. And as they looked to the stars for observing the heavenly bodies, by studying them, that from learning from the stars that something significant and significant events are happening by looking at the stars. The Bible says that they came from the east, and it's believed that the wise men or the magi came from the area of, they were the ancient Chaldeans, or today the city, the town of the area, country of Iraq, but they were from Persia or Media or Persia. There were magi who served during the time of Daniel. In fact, in Daniel chapter 2, we're told when King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and couldn't figure out what it meant, he called the magi or the magicians and the sorcerers to come and help him figure out what this dream was. So there were people that looked to the stars, people that studied that to find, try to find out meaning and purpose for life. But were there three? We don't know. The reason why we think people think there were three wise men is because the Bible mentions three gifts. And so we assume from the three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that there must have been three, right? Because they each brought a gift. But we don't know that for sure. Some people I was reading this week said that that gold, frankincense, and myrrh could have been from the whole delegation, a gift that the whole delegation brought. We don't know for sure. But we do know that magi is plural. So now that more than one of these guys from the area of Persia, today Iraq, who study the stars and look to the stars for significance and guidance, saw in the stars something special that brought them seeking Jesus. And from the story of the Magi's arrival in Bethlehem, we learn two important truths about Christ. And that's what we want to look at too as we come into the story this morning of what we can learn from the character of the Magi. First is that Christ alone is the one that we seek. As the wise man or the Magi looked to the stars, they saw in the stars something significant. And they wanted to see, find who it was that that star was leading them to. The scripture says, the Lord says, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. And today we have come because, again, we desire to seek the Lord and to seek a deeper and closer relationship with him, to know him better. And as followers of Christ, we learn from this story that he alone is the one we should be seeking. He is the one where true purpose and meaning is found. Because they would not be, as they saw this star in the sky, they knew it was a significant event. It was foretelling a significant event that had occurred. And so they were studying from their charts and from what they may have heard of prophecies that eventually a Messiah was going to be born in Israel. And the prophets had foretold that. And they identified the coming of the star with the birth of the Messiah. And they sought to seek him out. And they learn from that. Christ is the one that we seek, and because he has revealed his glory to us. He has made himself known, as the word says, that when we seek him, we will find him with all of our heart. He reveals his glory so that we can know him. Paul the Apostle said that all people are without excuse for knowing the Lord, because he has made himself known. And we say, well, what about the people in some of the remotest parts of the world where they never ever heard Jesus' name proclaimed or taught to them? Why are they accountable? Because the scripture says that God has already revealed his glory. And he has revealed his glory through his creation. The scripture says that heavens declare the glory of God. And the fact that the beauty of God's creation is enough to reveal the Creator God who made it. And so God revealed his glory through the act of creation by this star that got the attention of the wise men, and they knew that there was something significant here. And the glory of God was being revealed through his creation. God implored the entire universe to announce the arrival of his son. He sent angels to announce it to the shepherds, and this star that was placed in the sky to announce it to the wise men. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 16 through 17, the prophet Balaam predicted. He said, I see him now, but he's coming, but not now, but in the future. But he said, I see a star arising out of Jacob. And it was a promise of the coming of the Messiah. And perhaps the wise men, the Magi, had studied that verse because it's believed that these Magi in Babylon could have come under the influence of Daniel's teaching, and he could have taught them the scriptures. And so they heard that prophecy of the coming of a star arising in Judah, and they associated it with the coming of Jesus. But through his creation, God reveals his glory. Now, just this week, there was a lot of news about the Christmas star. Did anybody see it? Now, the first night it was supposed to appear, it was kind of all cloudy and rainy. We didn't get to see it. But then later on through the week, you were able to see it a little bit better. And Kim and I went out the one night. We were standing out watching it. It was cold. But we went out and we got to see it, and it appeared. And it was a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn together. And it made this bright star. And it stood out. And the night that we saw it, it was so cloudy. But we could see that star where the planets joined together. That's the only thing in the sky we could see. But imagine those nights and the wise men when they didn't have any air pollution, didn't have any light pollution. And that star that God had put in the sky to announce the coming of his son stood out. And his glory was revealed. And God was showing himself through his creation and making himself known. He reveals himself through his creation, but he also reveals himself through his word. Because as the star, the creation revealed the glory of God, the wise men began to seek and follow that star to see where it was going to lead them to find the Lord. And it brought them back to Jerusalem. And the reason why they went to Jerusalem was they thought, well, if it's the king of the Jews being born, Jerusalem's the capital. Surely that's where the king would be born. So they went to Jerusalem to seek him out there. They went to King Herod. We'll come back to him. And King Herod said, got the prophets together and the religious leaders together and says, well, what does the scripture say? And the scripture says, in Bethlehem and Judea, they replied, for this is what the scripture says, and among the least of the rulers of Judah, out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel. And through the word of God, God has revealed himself. He's made himself known through creation, but that's just part of it. But more specifically, through his word that reveals himself to us. And as you and I open his word every day, as we come this week and we hear his word taught and proclaimed, God uses his word to reveal himself to us. He uses his word that as we seek him and he speaks to us through our word, our heart is open to him to follow his leading and direction as he speaks through us. Creation is good to reveal his word, but it reveals God exists, but it's not enough to bring us into that relationship with him to know him personally. That's where his word comes in to help us know who he is and how to follow him. But he also has revealed himself the greatest way through his son. Because it says in verse 11, when they came into the house, where they finally got to the end of their journey that they were going to, and they come into the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Because the greatest revelation of God himself is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the scripture declares that he is the image of the invisible God and makes him revealed to us. The full revelation of God wrapped in human flesh. And that's what Christmas is all about. The greatest revelation of God himself with us through his Son. So in seeing Jesus, we see the Father. In seeing Jesus, we know what God is like and how he is identified with us in every way. So he's revealed his glory to us. He's made it known. That's why he alone is the one we seek. He's also the one we seek because he is the true king. There was none other but him. Now, when the wise men or the Magi came to Jerusalem, they went to King Herod because he was the king reigning at the time. And they were figuring, well, if a new king was born, he must be maybe related to Herod. Herod's the king now, so must be related to him. And They didn't understand that fully. So they went to King Herod, but it wasn't Herod that they were seeking. Because notice they said to him, "Where is the king who is to be born?" They knew it wasn't Herod, and it wasn't him that they were seeking. They were seeking the true king. And Matthew records that for us so that we understand that the true king and ruler and Lord is none other than Jesus. And he's the one we seek. Now, when Herod heard the news, what was his response? It says he was disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him was disturbed. Because the star did not point to Herod. That's not who the star was pointing to. The star was pointing and leading to Jesus. And Herod was disturbed because if you understand a little bit about who King Herod was, he was a very ruthless guy. He was called the king of the Jews, but he was not Jewish. He was an Idumean, which means he was of a mixed breed. He was an Edomite. And that may not mean significant to you, but the Edomites were descendants of Esau. And remember, Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And it was through Jacob that the nation of Israel descended. Esau became the Edomites, and they were really enemies. They were cousins, but they were enemies of Israel. King Herod was an Edomite. He wasn't even of the line of Israel. And he was placed into power by the Romans. And again, what did the Israelites think of the Romans? They despised them. And King Herod was a friend of Mark Antony. Remember Mark Antony and Cleopatra? He was a friend of theirs. And whenever Octavian or Caesar Augustus defeated them, he became a friend of Caesar Augustus, who then placed him in power and gave him his authority. But anybody that was a threat to him, he would extinguish. He executed three of his own children and his wife because he thought they were trying to plot against him. So when he heard the news that another king was born, how do you think he responded? He was not too happy about that. But the message that the scripture wants us to understand is that the true king is Jesus. That's who they were seeking. And as we come to worship and as we follow the Lord and his revelation through his word, it's leading to himself. It's leading to the fact that it's through Christ alone. He is the king we bow before. He is the one we seek. He is the one we worship. But also, he is the one we seek because he alone brings joy. It can only be found through him. It says that in verse 10, when they saw the star after they left Herod, and Herod gave them through the prophets in Bethlehem, the scripture says in Bethlehem, so they went to Bethlehem, following the star again, leading them the way. And it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed or filled with joy. Why? But not because of the star, but they knew the star was leading them to the Messiah, the King, who had been born. And Jesus is the one we seek because only joy and true joy can be found in him. That's what the amazing angels proclaimed that first Christmas. Good tidings of joy to you and to all mankind. Jesus told a story that the kingdom of heaven is like finding a pearl. And you find the pearl that is worth more than any other. And in order to have that pearl, you sell everything you have to gain that one pearl of great price. Or he said it's like a farmer who has a field and he finds a treasure buried in his field, Gene, and he sells all the other property to buy that one field that he can possess, that one that has that treasure in it, buried in it. Because Jesus is the only one that can bring that true and lasting joy. And he's the only one at the end of that journey that the wise men, as they set out all those miles to get to, that could bring true joy that sustains us. True joy that lasts through all the hard times we go through. Christ alone is the one we seek this morning. But second thing we learn from this story is that Christ alone is the one that we worship. The one that we bow before, the one that we honor. Verse 11 and 12 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, opened up their treasures, and presented him gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Christ, we seek him through his word, through as we come together, but through that we come alone to give him worship. And the scripture teaches us so well what it means to worship God. And as we come before him every Sunday morning to worship him, as we worship him every day, worship is something that we do with our life 24/7. It's not just 1 hour on Sunday morning, but for us as believers, worship is an ongoing thing. We live our life of serve, our life of worship to the Lord every day. And how do we do that? We worship him by giving him our reverence. It says that when they bowed, they come into the house, these mighty men of influence, these mighty men of power and means, they bowed before Jesus. And I love this picture because this is more accurate. You see Jesus here as a boy, not as a baby. Because it's believed it could have been maybe 2 years, but 2 years after this that he arrived, that they arrived. But they bowed before him, giving him their reverence. And as believers in Christ, as we seek him, we have that relationship with him. We worship him by bowing before him and giving him alone the reverence he is due. Bowing before him as the true king and the Lord and ruler of our lives. Giving him our reverence, surrendering ourselves to him and to his will and to his purpose. But also worship also means that we give him our praise. It says they bow down and they worshiped him. That worshiping, giving their praise, giving him their adoration, giving him the glory that he alone deserves. Praising him for who he is, for what he's done in your life. It's a good practice to have a practice every day of taking time every day to praise him. Taking time to praise him for even the bad things in our life, because you know, he's king and Lord over them, right? And he has a purpose in them. And giving him praise and thanksgiving for he alone is worthy of. Worship also means that we give him our treasure. It says that they opened up their treasures willingly and presented him with gifts of gold. The first Christmas gift was given by God. The first Christmas gift was given by God through Jesus. But the first Christmas gift that was given to Jesus from man was here when the wise of the Magi gave their gifts back to Christ of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it's believed that those gifts were significant. Gold was the gift given to a king, recognizing Jesus as divinity. Incense was a gift given to a priest that priests would use in the incense in the temple in their ministry service there, recognizing Jesus in his work as a priest. And myrrh was what was used as an embalming fluid that was used to embalm, a embalming spice, and preparing people for their burial. And this is a reference to Jesus' death. And through those gifts, we see Jesus as God, Jesus as our priest, and Jesus who died for us to give his life. But they presented their treasure. We as well worship the Lord by giving back to him. And notice they gave to him willingly. They gave to him freely. They gave to him joyfully. And we always often think of treasure as financial. But you know, it's more than that. Giving back to the Lord our treasure means giving him our time, giving him our service, giving him our devotion, giving him our love, giving back to him all that he's blessed us with in so many ways that goes far beyond just our financial. It could be every part of our life as we give back to him as a willing offering and sacrifice to the Lord, giving our treasure. And that's a part of worship. We haven't worshiped him until we reverence him, we praise him, we treasure him, and giving him our obedience. Worship as well means to obey. Verse 12 says, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We've seen earlier in the story, as Matthew was recounting it, the King Herod was making a plot, and he said to the wise men, when you find him, go and find him where he is, and then come back and let me know, because I want to come and worship him too. And we know that that wasn't his intent. His intent was to find Jesus so he could kill him. And the Lord revealed to the wise men, don't go back to Herod. Don't tell him. Go another way. And when the Lord spoke to them, they obeyed and they listened to what the Lord said. Worship involves our obedience, that as God speaks to us, leads us through his word. Worshiping him means we obey him as well and following after him. So what does this mean? How does this apply to our life? Well, wise men still seek him today. If we, wise men and women, those who are seeking to be wise in God's sight, still seek him, making the goal of our life to seek after Christ, to know him better, passionately, deeply, through his word, through how he's revealed himself, through his creation, through his word, and more importantly, through his son. And seeking him deeper and walking with him daily. Wise men and women of God still seek him today. How passionately are you seeking him? But wise men and women still worship Jesus. Come and worshiping him with our obedience, with our reverence, with our giving of our treasure, and with our praise. Seeking him and worshiping him. So what about you? We've seen how the wise men responded. But what about you? How do you respond to Jesus and his coming this morning and the celebration of Christ with us? Well, we can respond first with adoration like the wise men did. When the wise men saw him, they adored him, they worshiped him, they bowed before him, they gave themselves to him and they obeyed. With the adoration and praise and glory that he alone is the King of Kings is deserving of. Or we also can respond with apathy, like the religious leaders. When they heard the news, and when the wise men of the Magi came to Jerusalem in King Herod's throne room and said, where is the king that's been born? Herod said, I didn't hear anything about a king coming. It's news to me. So he got his religious leaders together and said, well, what does the scripture say about a Messiah coming? Where is it to be born? And they opened up the scripture. They read the word. And it said, oh, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem in Judea. But none of the religious leaders cared. They didn't go to seek him out. They didn't go to find him on their own. They didn't care. They were apathetic. You know, and so often that can be us. We can hear the stories so often. We can think we know the word. We can hear the scripture and we can become apathetic and dulled to it, can't we? And we can just become spiritually apathetic. The religious leaders are a picture of that. We can be apathetic, we can respond with adoration, or we can respond with anger like King Herod. That when God reveals himself through his word, he makes himself known, we don't like what he says. And sometimes he speaks to us in a very personal way. It can be very convicting sometimes whenever God gets in our face. Have you ever had a time when God gets in your face and he's speaking like to you and you know it? And it's something you want to you need to hear, but you don't want to hear it. Maybe it comes through a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe it comes through a spouse. Maybe it comes through his word. But it's something you need to hear and you don't want to hear it. And sometimes our response is anger. You ever been there? And like Herod, we see the revelation of God, but we don't want to have anything to do with it. We reject it and we get angry instead of coming to that point of repentance and accepting and surrender and worship. So wise men and women still seek him and still worship him. And like the wise men, we need to come with adoration and praise. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Magi who, when they saw the star in the sky, knew it was something very significant. You were revealing yourself through your creation and making your glory known. And they saw that revelation and it put that earnest desire in their heart to seek you, the God who revealed yourself. And Lord, we thank you that when you have revealed yourself because you want us to know you, you want us to seek you out, you want us to have that relationship with you. So you've made your glory known through the vastness and glory of your creation, through your word, and most importantly, through your son. That through that, we would seek you and draw near you and bow before you in worship, in adoration and in praise of who you are and what you've done for us. So Lord, may we not be apathetic like the religious leaders who heard, read the word, saw the revelation, and just ignored it. Or may we not get angry like Herod when we see you, when you reveal yourself to us and make your truth known, but we don't want to hear it because it challenges us. But Lord, may we come before you with adoration and surrender and give ourselves back to you freely and in obedience and love, bowing before you with reverence that you, the true King and the Lord, are deserving of. So thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us, for coming to us through Christ. And may we continue to seek you and worship you daily. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.